Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
You are listening to If We Were Writing, a feisty triathlon-ish podcast. I'm Kelly O'Mara, and together with Sarah True, we head up a weekly group ride where we dish on all triathlon news and everything else-ish we want to talk about. We're joined regularly by Khadija Diggs and Jocelyn Wong-Neal, and Laura Sedol does her Sid Talk segment updating you on everything you need to know from the weekend. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If We Were Writing is a production of Live Feisty Media. Join us on our group ride.
Yeah. Okay, I feel like every week we have to tell people who's here. So like this week, Sarah's sick again. Khadija's not here, but we have Chelsea Burns coming from her new podcast. So Chelsea, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Really, first time on a podcast with all women.
Ooh, oh, really? Amazing. We do need to know, do you like croissants?
Oh, that is our like hot topic, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in France only.
Oh, in France only.
Yeah, snob, okay. I guess.
You're a croissant connoisseur.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, this is like, because I said I don't like croissants, and now with like all the races happening in France this year, this has become... I feel like the second most controversial thing I've ever said, apparently.
Yeah, that's I guess, a little bit off-putting to some people, but you're entitled to like what you like.
Yeah. So I wanted Chelsea to come on because she has started like a new podcast that's really getting into like all, I feel like Chelsea knows everything about World Tri. And so obviously we're going to like tap into that knowledge, but most importantly, you used to coach NCAA. And so I feel like we've been talking about like, what are the kids like? So I feel like you have this, like, you have a pipeline into the 20-year-old, and you can tell us, like, what's cool.
What's okay? Cool?
Well, I'm not cool, that's for sure. I think I coached about 2 years ago now for a year and a half in NCAA, and I'd say I was only about a decade older than the kids, as you like to call them, or as I would call them as well, but I felt about three decades older. So I don't even know what's cool. The difference between millennials and Gen Zs is pretty insane, and I continue to learn more and more slang and lingo that is far over my head. But
this is where we got stuck on a couple weeks ago. What was slang that like you've now like that was real that like you use now? What did the kids
calling something fire?
Oh, so is that okay. Still cool?
It's okay. Not cool, but I've started saying it, and I'm embarrassed that I start saying it, but.
This was our debate because like we found a list on like a parenting website of terms kids use so you can talk to your kids. But it was actually all just stuff like I say. And then I was like, I think this might be outdated.
Except it did have the riz, which I taught you guys about last week. The riz.
Yeah. I know that means charisma, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I wouldn't have known that a year ago, but I can say for sure that all of the slang they use, I don't know the meaning of 99% of it. So yeah.
So one of our listeners who like coaches junior high and middle school sent me something. So riz less is a diss though. And so is calling someone a Sephora kid.
Oh, like Sephora, the makeup store.
Yeah. So Sephora kid is a diss. Telling someone she's a pick me girl, like pick me. That's bad. That's a that's huge.
Oh, I have heard that. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I think these things are better left for them. I don't even know if it's worth trying to learn any of these at my old age at this point. So
sure, you probably just sound like you're trying too hard. And yeah, nobody wants you to try too hard.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like you're trying to, you're a pick me girl.
Right.
Pick like, me, pick me.
Yeah, you don't want to be that person. No. All right, we're gonna take a quick ad break, but then we are gonna talk about actual triathlon news. And of course, we have an actual listener. Well, they didn't send a voicemail, but email about what Ironman should do.
Iron Women is excited to announce a new partnership with Bicycle, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. With more than 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available, Bicycle connects buyers and sellers on a global scale and makes the process of buying and selling bikes safe, easy, and convenient for riders. We all know there are plenty of marketplaces and classified sites out there, but what sets Bicycle apart is their guaranteed buyer protection, secure payments, simple shipping, and first-class customer service. Additionally, when you sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box directly to your door and coordinates pickup at a time that works best for your schedule. That kind of service has me swayed, and I'm cleaning up one of my old race bikes to sell on Bicycle right now. For a limited time, you can save up to $100 on your purchase at Bicycle by entering the code FEISTYTRY, all caps and one word, at checkout. That's code FEISTYTRY at Bicycle.com. BUYCYCLE.com.
Chasing Epic is the essence of the Orca brand. It's about seeking moments in life that make us feel truly alive and connected to the beauty of the world around us. And let's be honest, with a lot of swim, bike, and run, we get to see a lot of beauty. Orca's been a longtime partner of Feisty, and we work with them year after year because we love their products and their commitment to creating amazing wetsuits made for women. I absolutely love my Orca wetsuit. Apex is number one, but there's a range of triathlon wetsuits. You can choose between flexibility, buoyancy, or a combination of both. Really, there's a wetsuit for every triathlete and for all of your epic adventures. As a Feisty listener, you can get 15% off with the code IRONWOMEN15 at orca.com. Get out there and chase some epic, friends.
All right, Alyssa, I'm like starting to swim more again, and I feel like you were swimming a lot last year with One Water. And how did you keep your hair from getting so destroyed?
I was swimming so much last year, and I used Try Hard, Kelly, and I still swear by it. They have extensively researched this problem and created a superior vegan, dermatologically tested proprietary blend. Try Hard has shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and more stuff. Everything you're going to need for your pre and post swim necessities. I've also seen that top pros like Chelsea Sodaro and Lucy Charles Barkley also praise the effectiveness of Try Hard. I think it's like definitely changed how good I feel just coming out of chlorine.
And we have a code right now too for anyone who wants to try, you know, try hard and stop suffering from dry, itchy skin, having their hair get all, you know, green, which happens to me because mine's like super blonde and get all beat up. You can try any of the Try Hard products with the code 20feisty, that's 20feisty, for 20% off store-wide at tryhard.co. So that's 20feisty for 20% off at tryhard.co. Okay. I feel like the news of the week was Barkley marathons. Is that just like my perception, or is that like, were you guys following this like on Friday with Jasmine?
It's the endurance Harris world kind of news.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say I was following it, but I think once she became the first female finisher ever, it became plastered all over many news feeds I see. So I would agree. News of the week news in that world. Week.
It's kind of bizarre though. Cause like, okay, so Alyssa, who hosts Iron Women, our sister podcast, did Barclays 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So she like knows all these people. And it's such this thing that like you're off in the woods and you think you're just like in the woods by yourself. And then all of a sudden, you know, she does this, Jasmine. And then you're on like the CBS Evening News, right? And the New York Times and the BBC. It's like, I feel like those things are at odds. Like you are still like delusional and like haven't slept in 60 hours. And they're like putting you on the morning show.
I don't think a lot of people realize how hard and raw and rugged of an event it is. I was talking to a friend who works for Outside Magazine, and she was tasked with comparing that and the Lululemon event that happened mm-hmm. pretty recently. And she said they couldn't be more polar opposite events.
Right. Sure.
In terms of, yeah, not that they were going for the same thing, but just looking at those two events is both things that got a lot of attention recently. But this Barclays is, it's pretty wild. I think I did find myself reading more about it after I did see all the news this week, and I didn't realize it's a different course every year. And it's some
it's
of the
similar
pitches,
though, like, to be yeah. totally fair, they change it so you can't like learn it, but it's like pretty, like, part of the reason there were so many finishers this year is because there are so many veterans now who like were able to work together.
And the weather was like magically yeah. perfect, which never happens, hardly ever.
But one of the guys even said like they all worked together for the first three laps, which like helped them all. Like, because then they were like some people like Jasmine, like, you know what I mean? He said she was like better at navigating, and then some of the other ones were better at, right? Like they were able to like make sure they didn't go off course, because that's a huge element of it too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she's just an epic woman. Like, I remember hearing about her when she like won the spine race, outright beat all the guys, and was also breastfeeding her infant. Because I feel like she got a lot of attention. That was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Because yeah. she was like the woman that breastfed her child during this crazy 3-day ultra.
True.
And then like she, I feel like she got more attention just breastfeeding than beating all the men.
Yeah, it's, I always feel like mixed about the things that get attention. Like Michelle Vesterby got like more attention for winning Ultraman Arizona a couple weeks ago than for like, you know, being like top whatever 10 at Kona, because she like beat some amateur guy. It's like, that's
she
a
beat
weird.
All the guys.
Yeah. But it's sort of like, I think probably being whatever she was, fifth or fourth at Kona was harder. Like, I'm pretty sure than beating like some amateur men, you know?
But it was 3 days. It's the Ultraman. And why is it called the Ultraman? I feel like if a woman is going to beat all the guys,
you want to change the name?
Have it be the Ultra Women, and then have the guys do the Ultra Women.
Just put your petition in. Put it on change.org. Yeah.
Change.org.
I will tell you though, okay, so you know you were saying, Chelsea, like it's so hard to explain how hard this thing is, because like they're like navigating themselves and like climbing through brush. So I did this like super long run on Monday, and I was like, oh, this is terrible. I had to climb over a tree and like go through mud, and this is so slow. And I was, then I thought about that, because I was like, oh man. And
yeah, then, yeah, I mean, I think you reframe your expectations for running. I've been through a few iterations of that, whether I was just a runner, triathlon, you're kind of reframing. And then I've done a bit of 50K ultra running-esque stuff. And every time you're redefining what's quote unquote normal, whether it's pace or terrain or climbing. So I imagine that doing an event like Barclays is many, many iterations beyond what I will ever even wanna touch.
Do.
But yeah, trees are nothing to climb over. You should harden up.
I should harden up. After like the fourth tree, I was like, I'm done. I'm over this. Come pick me up. Yeah. The other race this weekend, less exciting, but World Cup in Hong Kong. And I feel like, okay, so Chelsea, obviously I wanted you to come on because you're like the expert on like world triathlon points and rankings and systems. So like, why was this race such a big deal for like points for Olympic qualification?
It wasn't actually a huge deal. I think it maybe got attention for being a bigger deal because Abu Dhabi was canceled, which was mm-hmm. like very big news. I'm sure you talked about that at some point. But every country, I mean, the whole Olympic qualification ranking system is so complex, and I could spend hours, I don't even know all of it, but I could spend hours going into the intricacies of every country and the spots and all that kind of stuff. And I think, I mean, we're probably particularly interested in the U.S.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what we care about.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so maybe the U.S. women's race even more specifically.
I want to hear conspiracy theories, Kelsey.
Right.
I mean, I don't have any conspiracy theories right now that I probably should put out for you. But entering Hong Kong, there wasn't really anything at stake. I think that some people thought that, oh, Gwen's going here, Katie's going here, sure. And what's going to change? And there was no opportunity, even if Katie had won the race, for her to move into that fifth spot to get a start
to be clear, like the issue at issue here is that the U.S. only has 5 spots at the last qualifying event in Yokohama. And right now, Katie Zafaris is number 6. She's kind of been going back and forth with Gina Sereno in like 6th and 7th. And Gwen Jorgensen is number 5. And so like you're saying, like, so there's a lot of attention on this race because it was like, oh, can Katie get points? Can Gwen move down? And she wasn't going to pass Gwen at the race, but it's still just like everyone's like watching like every point mm-hmm. move.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. No, it's definitely eyes are on every race at this right. point. It was honestly much bigger stakes the week or two before in Miami.
Sure.
Had Katie finished, she didn't even need to win, but she could have in theory passed Gwen in that race because Gwen didn't get the chance to earn any points in Abu Dhabi with that cancellation. So had that day aligned for Katie, that would have been a massive upset, unforeseen situation, didn't end up unfolding because she DNF'd with some heat issues. So this Hong Kong race was just an opportunity, I think, for her to go race, show USA Triathlon, hey, I'm fit. She had a really great race. So did her teammate, Kirsten Casper, who is in that top 5. Those USA women have been told that there will be no substitutions for Yokohama. And because Abu Dhabi was full, I believe that Yokohama will be full. People who maybe weren't racing and would have had open spots, I think there won't be an opportunity for someone like Katie to roll on. So her only chance to make the team, in my opinion, she could get a start in Yokohama and auto qualify, but her only chance to make the team will be to get a start in Cagliari, which she could earn on her own if points change, because that's a few weeks after Yokohama, or if she gets the discretionary spot by showing USA Triathlon. You can tell I could go on and on.
Right. But, yeah. Basically you're saying like, so Yokohama is the last auto qualifier for the US and that's why everyone wants to start there.
Yeah.
And everybody was kind of hoping that like some of these Europeans wouldn't start, but since Abu Dhabi was canceled, they're going to. So now like the US is like, well, shit. But then if you don't, like there will still be a spot up for discretionary pick after
the
that.
The third spot is likely up because there's way that two can auto qualify.
No,
right?
No way. No.
Only one, but potentially zero can auto qualify. So if nobody podiums, then there will be two discretionary spots, which will then be for USA Triathlon to decide based on relays.
Right. There's like a whole, there's like a 20 something page document about like what they take into consideration.
But basically, what the French team is saying, how they have to show their form.
Well, that's like really bullshit in my opinion, is because the French, I'm sure Chelsea knows way more about this, but like the French, they had qualification criteria last year and, you know, you have like Cassandra and Pierre like qualified, but now they have this thing where they have to like prove that they're still like up for it.
Yeah. you have to go prove fitness in the Olympic year, which I think is a great policy. I don't think
policy, but it's like kind of shitty.
I mean, I think that I think the U.S. needs to add that policy personally. I think that they saw in the COVID Olympics that that was something they were missing. With having a qualification event, it turned out to be 2 years out. And I'm not saying that anyone that qualified there shouldn't have gotten a spot in Tokyo. But they then had no requirement between August 2019 and July 2021.
Sure.
They could have done nothing. So I think that's something. All it needs to be is, I don't know, a top 10 in a World Series, which is achievable for anyone going to an Olympic Games. So I think that that's I respect France's inclusion of that. And with the strength of their team, it's a no.
Right. Obviously their men's team is like super nuts. And I get that. I do think like they worded it kind of vaguely.
Yeah. I mean, it's tricky too. You're now seeing a guy who podiumed at two guys who podiumed at the test event, which is an incredible feat. They could potentially be left off the team this year, which would be unfortunate. And they have the 4 craziest people to only pick 3 from. Crazy meaning really good.
I think it's like the most out of obviously the U.S. women's team is like quite stressful because we all like know it's like a very tough team to make. But then like the British women's team is like even more stressful. And then the French men's team is like the most stressful, I feel like. Because
that's a great ordering of stress.
But okay, so then after everyone's watching every race now to try and like, oh my god, like are people gonna move up, where are the points? And then here's one of the random theories I heard this week. Because the E-Tri World Champs, or whatever they're called, Super Tri's E Arena Games thing, is worth World Cup points, now athletes are going to do that to try and earn World Cup points. But then someone's telling me like, oh, well, USAT is going to watch how they like go head to head and see how they size up. And I was like, I don't know.
What mixed team relay potential?
I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know who your source is, but I think USA Triathlon isn't technically interested in anything below World Series in terms of events they're considering. So even like this performance for Katie in Hong Kong, it was a World Cup. So at the end of the day, doesn't really matter. So these indoor events, there's two coming up. There's one this coming weekend in Leuven, France, and that's actually an indoor race, but not an e-sport race. So
it's like on a track. Pool. It's crazy.
Yes, explain the difference, please.
So they'll swim. This was actually a format that was pretty popular in the 90s and 2000s.
Like in Europe.
Yeah. And here. I think they did it in Australia too. Huh. Maybe just in Europe. Huh. It was definitely before my time, but I know it used to be really popular. But anyways, they'll swim in a pool. They'll ride, I believe, bigger loops around a track. There's like an outdoor ring and an indoor ring to this track. And then run. And it's really short. It's a prelim final, which is why there's extra points. Anytime there's a World Triathlon event with a prelim and a final, they're required to award more points. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
It looks crazy though. I watched the like video a couple years ago when like Yuri Kulin won it or whatever. And it is kind of nuts because they're just like going super fast around this indoor stadium track.
Yeah. I mean, transitions are critical, but Gwen and Gina Sereno, number 5 and 7, are both going. So
Gina's my pick to win 2028.
All right. Write that down, everyone.
She works for NASA, right?
She does. She also works for NASA, like in her free time. Yeah.
That's amazing. I love that.
And then after that is the indoor arena games, which I believe Katie's racing at.
Well, Katie's racing the arena games. And that's like on Zwift with like lots of cameras and TVs.
And treadmills.
Yeah.
But there's an actual pool.
There's a pool. They don't like treadmill the pool.
They don't. I mean, they could technically, what's it called?
Have an endless
pool. Or yeah, the Bossa trainer.
They're going to get like a massive Master Spa sponsorship one year and just like put everyone in those endless pools.
Yeah, because why do you get to actually swim for real?
Right.
But you bike and run in place.
I feel like that would just stress me out though, because like so much is dependent on making sure all the technology is right and you don't have control over that. Like at least like your bike on an outdoor race, like you have control over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, we've seen that in arena games. It's definitely not perfect. And they've had some technology situations come up that have angered some athletes, but that's also what they're signing up for. So
you're like, no sympathy.
I mean, not no sympathy, but there's a reason it's not the most hotly contested event in triathlon, I think.
There's more money in it, though.
It's not real.
But it's like, I mean, it's real in that, like, so, like, super, all these partnerships. So, like, Super Tri partnered with World Tri, right? Same way the PTO partnered with World Tri, which I'm assuming has to mean they paid money, right? Like, that's what partnered means in this case. I would, like, assume.
Yeah.
Someone's getting money.
Someone's paying someone money, yeah. Because otherwise it makes no sense. But then that makes it an official, like, world.
Yeah, I think what happened was World Triathlon, they kind of got behind that during COVID when there weren't many race options.
Okay.
And I think there was some sort of commitment that they weren't going to leave them out to dry, this indoor arena format, when COVID ended. So I don't know if they had a timeline on.
I also think, and I from a business perspective, it like makes a lot of sense as an event. It's really easy to sell like VIP tickets. It's really easy to sell like corporate bulk discount, right? Like events. And like, cause it's easy to be like, here, we'll do a really short, fast heat round, get some drinks, yell at the people, right? Like it's really, it's like a spectator event that like, it's like quite easy to make money off of, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, not easy, but easier.
I mean, you should watch both that and the indoor track race until decide which one is more entertaining for you.
More entertaining.
Will they be streamed?
I think so. Okay.
Yeah. They both should be, yeah.
On Triathlon Live, but you have to pay your $8.99.
Yes, I do have Triathlon Live that I signed up for 1 year and like always forget to like cancel. So it's not expensive though. I still have it.
The other thing though is like, like you said, so after Abu Dhabi got canceled, they're upping the field size at Yokohama. It's going to be big. And they're upping the field size at Cagliari too, right? Or they haven't said that yet, but they will.
I think so. I know they've done it for the World Cups. You saw in Hong Kong a totally massive field.
That is like this huge, massive field. And then we saw, and I know Jocelyn was all worked up about this over the weekend. You saw that huge, massive field hit the first swim buoy in the men's race.
Yeah.
And it was like two, and they like literally like, how do 70 people make a turn? It's not possible.
Yeah. So if anyone doesn't know what you're referring to, like 10 people cut that swim buoy, weren't DQ'd. But I mean, I'm not saying they should have cut the swim buoy. Everyone should go around the swim buoy, no matter how long it takes you. But
this is your professional opinion.
Yeah, it's hard to accommodate 70 guys with a buoy that's that close. So
yeah.
That wasn't the, I think, one of the bigger scandals out of Hong Kong, since you were looking for conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
You, I don't know if you heard any murmurings of the water quality there.
No.
Yeah, there's been an alarming amount of very sick athletes from Hong Kong. So it is the fourth most densely populated city in the world. There are 7 million people. It is an extension of China, which isn't,
it's always had the highest regulations.
Yeah, sanitation there is different. The culture is different. So I don't know what World Triathlon did in terms of testing the water or publishing those numbers, but it was not good water.
Somebody got paid.
Yeah. Somebody got paid.
Yeah.
But the other thing is like, I mean, obviously, you know how, like, what was it in the UK last year when all these people got sick? And then the UK is like, no, like, we test the water, we have the numbers, but still, like, everyone got sick. So it's hard to sometimes say, like, well, if everyone got sick still, like, there's evidence. And then, you know what I mean? Then there's like anecdotal, like.
Yes.
Based on the stories I've heard, this is one of the most compelling water quality issue races I have heard about ever. And it's
really, yeah, really.
Yeah.
Wow.
I won't share the personal stories to keep people's stuff private, but it's been a little bit alarming. So you can contact me directly if you want to hear those.
If you want to hear really gross, gross water quality stories. But Paris is also obviously having problems. I was reading about how they're like digging a like massive hole to try and resolve their sewer.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is that it's 2024 and these are major cities and they have these races in these places because it's really cool, but the water isn't clean. And so it's kind of a double-edged sword where we want to have races. Nobody wants duathlons and they want to be in cool places, but the water isn't clean. And so not every race is going to be an Olympics where they have a budget of $1 billion to invest in underground aquifers or whatever they're doing in Paris to clean things up. So it's tough. I'm not saying that athletes should be sickened, but also I think we want to see cool races. So I'm not really sure what should be done, but something needs to be done.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reality. The financial reality is that this is – triathlon doesn't have the money to go in and be like, oh, we want to do a cool race in New York. Like, we'll fix all the infrastructure. Like, that's not going to happen. So
No. And you don't want to stick them – in a place where there's not cool overhead drone shots.
Right. Well, you need cool drone shots. Obviously.
Obviously.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, but then we do have a listener email with ideas from Ironman when we get back. So Jocelyn, I know, you know, we're getting older and aging and you've been using Aminocos Heal as part of your like post-workout recovery, right?
Yeah, it seems like after I became a mom and then turned 40, my recovering abilities really tanked. So as you remember, I then tore my meniscus, had to get surgery in my knee, and now I've had this lingering ligament injury in my foot. So I've been adding a scoop of the chocolate flavored Heal to like either a glass of chocolate milk or a recovery smoothie. And I love that it helps accelerate muscle repair and reduce inflammation so I can keep training and racing hard in my 40s.
Yeah. And so you use the Aminoco Heal chocolate. How do you like it? How's it taste?
It tastes pretty good. I mix it up with a bunch of stuff. So it's like, tastes like a chocolate shake.
And all Aminoco products are 100% science backed. It's, you know, Feisty's go-to essential amino acids. And you can get 30% off with the code WRITING, as in if we were writing, at aminoco.com/writing. You'll also get a free gift for new purchasers. That's aminoco, aminoco.com/writing, and use the code WRITING at checkout for 30% off and a free gift. All right, Chelsea. So a couple weeks ago, we were talking about how Iron Man can get out of the whole like one and done mentality. Cause you know, like full numbers for full Iron Man are down or like have been down for a while. And so here's what a listener sent a long email explaining that they think Iron Man should add relay and aqua bike options more to the full. And that would attract more people. Thoughts? I've never actually done an aqua bike.
Oh, remember I did one last year. It was dumb.
It was dumb.
I mean, it was anticlimactic because you don't like cross the finish line. You like roll into T2 and hand over your timing chip.
But couldn't they just change that and make there be a finish line and then it'd be cool?
Maybe. But it's the same course going on at the same time as the triathlon. So
yeah,
it's logistically tricky. I mean, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah. As someone who's not super passionate about Iron Man, sorry, Iron Man, but it kind of strikes me as the type of event that people show up to because they want the tattoo, because they've done the one thing. They want to tell their friends they've done the Iron Man.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't see the attraction of an alternative format.
Yeah. Well, like, okay. So like, I think of like my aunt, when she did her first Iron Man and the swim got canceled, she was all like, can I call myself an Iron Man? And it's like, sure, whatever. Right. Like you did the event, but you're right. Like the people who like want to do it, like part of the appeal is wanting to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe what if we just like change that? What if we just like make it into a new thing?
If it had like the half distance, there are a few races that have both the half and the full at the same time.
Didn't they already try this by having the world champs in Nice instead of Kona? And they already saw that people mainly care about Ironman and Kona?
No, I wouldn't say that's entirely, like, one, I don't know that after, like, one race, you can make a definitive statistical analysis. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I don't think you can say something is or isn't a success after you do it, like, one time, like. But besides that, like, yeah, sure. Like, Ironman's, like, committed itself too much to, like, its particular marketing of, like, this is right, and they've done that for however many decades. And so if they're going to change that, it's going to take a long time to change it. But you look at like 70.3, this is always my example, right? Remember when 70.3 started and everyone was like, what the fuck is that? Like, I don't like it. Yeah. Took like 10 years.
Clear
it took, like,
water, that's BS.
It
draft
was BS.
Packs, etc.
But it took like a decade to make it a thing. And that's going to be true of like anything you do. Mm-hmm. It's going to take, like, you can't just like tell people immediately, like, this is a really cool thing. And they'll all be like, okay, Chelsea said so, sign me up, right? Like, you have to like sell it over time.
Because we're all, Chelsea, like, we're all trying to go to Nice and get our slots and eat croissants.
Okay.
And so we're trying to make it cool.
We're trying to make it cool. I don't know if I'm trying to make it cool because I actually kind of don't like Nice as a place because we've established.
Stop it. It's
I'm
amazing.
Anti-French.
Stop it. You're but anti-croissant too.
Right.
So there's that.
I just thought it'd be really cool to do, or I just think it's like historic, whatever, to do the first one that's like outside of the US. Because I personally am of the opinion that it needs to rotate, right? I don't think you can declare a world champion in the same location every year. Like, I think that's
silly.
Kind of bullshit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess mm-hmm. I could see your argument for the, what did you say, aqua bike and something else?
Relay.
The relay. I think I struggle with the relay because I also believe it's a very individual.
Oh, no, you're not about a team? Oh, man.
I mean, I think that the type of people that are drawn to triathlon are – at least age group long course triathlon, or, you know, more, they want to train their numbers and do their event and do it themselves.
At Roth, the relay is huge. The relay is like this massive thing and it's really competitive and they give like big prizes and they're like funny prizes. Like, I don't think they mean for them to be funny, but it's like, here, you want a toaster. Like, it's weird. And people run people the runners run like 240 marathons, right? Like, it's like, weirdly, it's not just like, oh, so I don't like, and clearly that's just like, you know, obviously Roth sells out, right? Like, obviously they do not have a problem selling out, so clearly that's just like part of the culture there.
Yeah,
I did see the charity relays at Lake mm-hmm. Placid mm-hmm. and then I feel like the hard part with an Ironman relay is like all those segments are super long. So I was like thinking like mixed team relay Ironman, but then I did see one of the teams for the Lake Placid relay auction. It was like each of the two guys were only doing half of the swim, like one loop of the swim.
weird.
And then one loop of the run, because I think each is like two loops, right? It's a two-loop swim, two bike, loop and course. Run. And yeah. I was like, that could be a cool concept for...
You just like do, oh, yeah.
Like it could a be, rotating relay.
What, you know, like the mixed relays and like swimming and stuff where it's like you can put whichever athlete you want at whatever leg.
Mm-hmm.
They should do it like that, where it could be like you can do, you get four people and you can make them do whichever combo of things you want to do. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Hope Iron Man's listening. A lot to play around with here.
There's a lot. So wait, Chelsea, why do you have, we're going to deep dive here. Why do you have no interest in Iron Man? I'm not like, obviously I'm not judging. I'm just saying, being that deep in triathlon for that long in the US, it's like abnormal, right? Like it's not the common thing here.
What's the longest you've done?
I mean, I have done a half Ironman mm-hmm. race before.
Okay.
I don't know. I just think that the alternative is so much cooler.
Like the short course?
Yeah. And the Olympic cycle of it sure. all. And it's, I don't know. I think they're so impressive and that format is really exciting. And yeah, I don't know.
It's more exciting to watch, but like you can't really do it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess
you
can. Hobbies.
I guess you have other hobbies. But I was like, are there really draft legal short course races in the US? Like, not
no,
really.
There's a sprinkling.
Yeah.
There's a sprinkling, but I don't think they're ever, because I have a, my friend Victoria does them. But from what I've heard, there's hardly ever enough people in the field where you're like, then basically you're like racing by yourself a lot of the time.
Yeah, I did like one draft legal race once that was like, and then I was just by myself the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, seems a little dangerous too.
Actually, you know what though? I got an email from USAT that said, do you want to race draft legal nationals? No qualifications required. And I do not want to because of schedule, but part of me does because if you can just sign up and like,
because
no,
you've never where broken a bone and you want to do that.
I've never broken a bone. Exactly.
Bucket list item. Yeah,
exactly. Well, yeah. Jacqueline, it's at the Multisport Festival. Is that in Omaha?
Oh, who wants to go to Nebraska?
It's more that it's the first weekend of June, I think. And that's the PTO San Francisco race here. So I'm going to be here.
Eagle Man, where I will be. Mm-hmm. Trying to get my niece slot.
So, but as a super fan of World Tri, Chelsea, I mean, can you really follow it from here, like in the US? Or do you just follow it because you know everyone? Like,
I
find it hard to follow sometimes.
Yeah, it's hard to follow. I mean, there's a pretty heavy amount of background required, I think. But I don't think that's entirely true. I think if you're managed to get past the paywall and spectate these races, which really shouldn't have a paywall, in my opinion, they're really exciting. And if you kind of get behind some of these individual athletes and follow them on social media and kind of see these rivalries, I think it's really cool. And I think following the pros of long course triathlon is pretty cool too. That's not totally boring to me. It's just not as cool. So
it's not as cool. They should, World Tri should lose their paywall because like their whole, like they're not a for-profit company. I know they have financial issues, right? But like their goal isn't to make money. Their goal is to like spread the sport. And it seems like counterproductive.
It's talking about triathlon live.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's $14 a year. It's something like that.
I agree with you. It's affordable. And I think you see a similar paywall in cycling and track.
But it's very really confusing for people. It like makes them confused.
Well, you can send them over to my podcast and I will get them all the background they need. I'm trying to educate the masses and bring people into watching. So more work to be done.
I've been listening to your podcast. I like your music.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. That was composed by a coworker of mine. So he did a great job.
Yeah. It sounds a little country.
Yeah. That was the ambition was to kind of liken it to a Johnny Cash burn.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, burn.
I feel like we should tell people. Yeah. Your podcast is called Chasing the Burn. I think you're on like episode 4 or something. And you're kind of like alternating analyzing World Tri with like interviews. And I feel like since you know everybody, you also get like pretty good interviews on a side point.
Yeah. My goal is to not only interview my friends. I was given that criticism recently. And so I do need to start branching out. But I started with Flora Duffy, who was a good friend of mine. And cornered her into saying yes. So that was a good way to start because she had a good story to tell. So I was kind of lucky that she wanted to come on and use my platform as a way to tell her story. But yeah, I'm trying to do bi-weekly interviews and I'm doing a lot of short course athletes for now. I think I'm really excited about building to Paris. I did have India Leon as my second guest, but I'm not just going to have athletes on. My ambition is to have other people in the sport, maybe cool. step outside triathlon a little bit, but also do these recaps and updates where.
Yeah, I think there's clearly like a need. I mean, obviously in general, I think there's one, a need for like more women analyzing things and you like know what you're talking about, but there's also yes. like a need for explaining world tri. Like, because sometimes I feel like if I don't follow every in and out and I sometimes like I've emailed you and been like, what's the difference between this list and this list? If I can't figure it out, like the number of people who are casually figuring it out is probably not high.
Yep. Well, I'm working on it. So. Well,
I just like that there is it's a non-male led podcast because sure. a lot of those are just very douchey.
I don't think they try to be douchey. I think it's just.
I mean. Yeah, they're probably not trying to be no. douchey on purpose, but that's just how they come off.
Yeah. So if no one knows, I was on a podcast for 2.5 years with four men, they're definitely boys. and I was the sole female and kind of the short course representative. And I'd come on to give all that clarification for them. And it was a good experience. I learned a lot and it was fun and they're great people, but I got to the point where I was like, all right, I can't do what I want. And I kind of wanted sure. my own platform. And so mm-hmm. that was kind of what laid the stage for what I'm starting up now. So I did have a little help and intro into podcasting by chatting with them every week for 2.5 years, which that was a lot of chatting. So
a lot of chatting.
Yeah.
As you kind of like are trying to like, you know, spread the word of like short course and everything right now in the build up to Paris, which like I'm, you know, getting super pumped about Paris. What are the things that you're like telling people to watch out for? Like, obviously we went on this kind of like tangent about the US women and the qualifying, but what are like the storylines that you're like, the rivalries, the things that you're like telling people like they need to keep their eye on?
I think I'm still very focused on the whole qualifying. Obviously there is that bigger race in July that there's plenty to watch there. But you mentioned a few of the big ones. I mean, the French men is a fascinating one to watch.
Yeah,
you've got
British women. Yeah.
British women. The relay is kind of in a really unique spot because this whole qualifying period of the relay got pretty decimated with the cancellation or duathlon transformation of a few of the events. So I think that's going to be, I mean, the relay was debuted in Tokyo. We saw that for the first time in Olympic Games and it was really exciting. And I think that's just like the growth curve of that thing is really steep. So I'm really excited to watch the relay. And I don't know, it's just the Olympics. I think that it's this thing that people dream about since they're 5 years old and it's so big for so many of them. And they put 4 years into this, not 4 years, but you know, 16 years into this kind of thing. So just the story behind everyone and their path to get there, whether it's their first Olympics or their fourth, and they're trying to get another medal. They're trying to be their first athlete for their country. There's just so many different storylines to watch. So, I mean, I'm starting to sound like NBC here, but
sure. Yeah.
It's cool.
No, I like the Olympics. I am. I have an idea for I think they should do a relay for every country that like actually has like a swimmer, a biker and a runner. So that your country gets to pick like your best swimmer and your best biker and your best runner on the last day of the Olympics.
And it could be from the other sports, not triathlon.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Is you would pick across the.
Do you know what the process to add an event in the Olympics is like?
Yeah, I do. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, Chelsea. They want to add events. They're like desperate to add events because it means more TV coverage. It means more viewers. It means more money without adding athletes. Like that's one of their big things. They don't want to up the number of athletes. They want equal, like events that have equality and they want more events because that's more you can pack it.
They need to put them in with the regular triathlon race. It would be amazing.
That would be terrible.
Because you would have cyclists that are actually cyclists and used to like riding in a pack.
I don't know if the triathletes would be stoked about that.
No, I don't think they would be. I think it's gonna be really fun. Because like, you know how they keep adding all these mixed relays because they want to add events without adding athletes. So I just think like a relay across sports.
Disciplines.
That's my idea.
I like it. I like it.
All right. Well, you should give, what's his name? Thomas Bach a call.
Let him know. Yeah.
Let him know.
Let him know. This is a great idea. Yeah. They are adding, like, I'm trying to think what events they're adding. I mean, breakdancing is in for Paris, but then it's like flag football for LA.
For LA.
Rugby. Yeah, we talked about this before. Now I'm trying to remember all the ones they're adding.
It's not called breakdancing, though. It's called something called stupid.
Something else. But are you going to Paris?
I'd like to. I don't have a flight yet, but I hope to be there.
We're going, or me and Sarah are going. And what I was just looking at, did you know they're banning filming, like, for movies in, like, certain neighborhoods for, like, the 2 months around the Olympics? Like, you can't film an action movie in Paris this summer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why?
Because the French are crazy about their security. I don't know. Like, because, right? Because the Olympics, yeah.
Oh, I mean, there's a history of people, like, bombing Olympics, so...
Well, yeah.
Could be acts of terrorism?
Yeah, I think that's what they're saying. I mean, the French are also, like, Chelsea was at the test event, and I, like, she had an actual credential, and I did not, but, like, the security was intense there.
Yeah.
It was nuts. Yeah.
I mean, it was well done. I think that that was the point of that test event, is to not only try out the race, but try out the security and all the different parts. There are so many different parts to making that event go on, but
I got trapped behind barricades like multiple times, like where I like followed where people told me to go, and then all of a sudden I was like in a corner and I like couldn't get out of a barricade.
But were you still able to see everything you wanted to see?
No, absolutely not.
You weren't. No. I felt like there was a pretty good option for spectating. Well
they kept like randomly closing the bridge. They would be like, nope, that's enough people, you can't get on the bridge. And you'd be like, well, how do I even get across the river to get to the other side? And they're like, this is not, because you know, the ones, the European, they're always like, oh, it is not possible, madame. That is what they always say. It is not possible, madame.
Yeah. I think we're a little entitled as Americans to think we can cross any bridge whenever we want. I mean, those bridges are really old.
Bridge.
I want them to maintain their structural integrity, I think. I don't know.
I just want to know how else you're supposed to get across. I was like, well, what's your option? How do you get across? Yeah.
I mean, you're going to need to do some planning beforehand.
Yeah.
You're going to need to have a game plan.
I mean, it wasn't just, it was obviously me being American and whatever, not, but there was also a lot of French people. And then the French people start yelling at the French police, and everyone starts being very French, and everyone's like yelling in French at each other. And because that's like how it goes. And I'm like, okay.
Should be fun then.
Should be great.
You better get a media credential. I think that's a little tougher to do.
Yeah, well, you cannot get one for.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah,
it's tough.
How'd you get one, Chelsea?
For the test event? Easier for the test event.
Oh, okay.
I got one through World Triathlon.
Okay. Yeah.
They're my buddies, so I know.
It is easier for the test event. To be fair, like, it is easier for the test event. For the actual Olympics, you had to apply by, like, December 2022, and they allocate them to per outlet, like, per, like, NBC, CNN.
You can't
CNN.
Just make a fake vest that says media, or however it is said in French.
No, you might get shot. All right, before our random question of the week, which was related to croissants, I do feel like I need to, like, because Jocelyn and Khadija, who's not here this week, were blowing up my Instagram, freaking out about, they were freaking out about the fact, like, there's this rumor going around that Ironman is taking Gatorade off course and moving to something else. And I just feel like I need to tell you guys, I have checked. Gatorade is still going to be on course for all the races, like, for Oceanside, for Texas, for all the races, like, coming up. Like, sure, they might sign a contract later, but Gatorade is going to be on course for a while. There will be like a significant, what's the word, notification if and when that changes.
Okay, did you hear about this, Chelsea?
You know, this is just making me realize we really need some races to happen. This is just not news I care
this
about.
This was people were losing their minds, like, oh my god. I was like, I mean, I know, like, triathletes lose their mind about everything, but I was like,
the rumor, well, yes. It's because the rumor is that Gatorade, which has been on the Ironman courses for forever, forever and ever, was going to get replaced by this company called Mortal Nutrition, which I think has stevia in it, and it's like 40 calories. It's like a low-carb electrolyte drink, which just
People
didn't
lost
make
their
sense.
Minds.
Yeah, it didn't make sense for for like an endurance event. And it's hard to come by. It's like only sold through the feed, maybe.
A lot of things are only sold through the feed, though. And that's fairly easy to get them because you just press order on the feed.
But
in all fairness,
not as easy as going out on your weekend ride, sure, stopping sure. at the gas station and
Gatorade is available everywhere. But yes, Chelsea, this did make me be like, oh my God, triathletes, like, why don't we not, like, why don't we wait till we get all the facts? That is not the triathlete way. We are going to panic and freak out.
No, we like rumors and conspiracy theories, and then we go down the rabbit hole.
So I don't know why Iron Man doesn't sound appealing to you.
So, I mean, I'm just retired. It's the past for me. I just run now.
Oh, really?
Snowboard, run. Do fun things.
Do fun things. So wait, do you not do any triathlon anymore then?
No. I did my last triathlon. It was a World Cup just as COVID was breaking out in Mooloolaba, and I haven't done a triathlon since.
Wow.
Yep. But I run a lot. I did my first marathon in December. That was.
I know. I saw you randomly. I was like standing out there waiting for my husband, and I was like, oh, hey, Chelsea.
I was there. So
nice.
I'm still kind of being an athletic person, but
sure. I'm not judging, to be clear.
No, I don't.
I was just
judged.
Curious.
Yeah.
No.
have you swam at all?
A few random times when it's like a sunny day and my friends are going swimming, I'll get in and swim 2K in an outdoor pool. But I hate swimming. So
I hate swimming.
I don't swim.
I feel like just going and busting out at 2K is like, right now, that's my long workout.
That's your long swim.
Yeah. But I am like, I also very much dislike swimming.
I mean, I would also just swim 1K. But
sure.
Yeah, I don't swim. I swim maybe 2 or 3 times a year. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will say, and they all know this, like, 'cause I've been running. I've been doing the ultra thing lately. And like, running all the time, though, is just terrible.
So hard
just,
on
like,
your body.
Hurts. Yeah.
It does hurt, but it's worth the pain.
Not when it's like injury pain.
Well, you need to know how to take care of yourself too. I mean, my proudest part of last year was I averaged over 100 Ks of running for 52 weeks.
Wow.
Of 2023.
That's a lot.
So
you're pretty durable then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to think I'm pretty durable. I've spent a lifetime.
You just said that
up.
In Ks, like you're not an American. And it threw me off. I had to like do the math in my head.
Yeah. I've been doing Ks for about a decade ever since I started triathlon. You train with internationals and you have international coaches and you quickly forget what a mile is, but. Sorry.
100K
is 62 miles.
I know. Well, I was about to say, I've been averaging like 40 to 50 in the mid-40s miles, not Ks. And it's exhausting. It's too much. And like, I'm going through shoes. I'm like, well, this is stupid. I have to buy new shoes. Yeah.
You need friends with sponsorships. That's
well,
my
that's
tactic.
Totally true. Yeah. We did Sarah, even though she had to deal with another sick kid from preschool, she did have a random question for us this week. So there is this thing going around about a waiter race in Paris where the waiters had to cover a mile while carrying a drink and croissants on their tray. And obviously this is a hot topic for the podcast. So she wants to know, what other professions would we like there to be a race of? Her suggestion was flight attendant. Where you had to like get through the plane with all the obstacles.
I feel like they would also have to do like the safety demonstration as fast as they could.
So what other professions? I'm trying to think what other professions would be a good race. I have seen the like grocery store bagging contests, like who can bag the fastest.
That's actually my job.
There supermarket sweep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Trader Joe's employee here.
Nice.
Could you win that contest?
I'm pretty good at bagging. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to brag, but.
So for my career, I make prosthetic legs for a living. So I feel like a cool one would be like to disassemble and reassemble an entire prosthetic leg.
I feel like that's just like impossible though. You're like, that's very niche, you know? There's not that many people who
there
do
are
that.
Well, yeah, this is true. There's only a dozen schools in the US where you can learn this.
Right. So yeah, no, that's probably too
too niche. Yeah. Okay.
How do you guys always end up talking about croissants? I'm just curious.
because there's so many races in France this year, right? With like Nice and Paris. And I was there like too many fucking times last year, right? Like I saw you in Nice at the thing in January, and then I was back in Paris, and then in
I very strongly love croissants, and Kelly thinks they're overrated.
And I was just like, and at some point you just get tired of being in France all the time. You're like, well, this sucks. And so, yeah, so this came up. So she was like, well, don't you want to eat croissants all the time? And I was like, no, I don't.
Ever.
Yeah.
See? I don't know what profession I would choose for a speed race.
Tough. Yeah. I think flight attendant's good.
Surgery.
Surgery would be good. Yeah.
Heart surgery.
Yeah. Margin for error with speed, though, especially in building anything like airplane construction, that not
you don't want them to race that. No, yeah.
You know, orthopedic surgeons can do knee replacements like in less than 15 minutes.
I would like them to take their time, though.
But that's the standard. It's like such a fast procedure now. It's kind of wild.
I'm like, you know what? Take 30. It's fine. Do you remember there was a race in New York, or well, I've seen this, and I was in New York, where there was like a guy who tried to bike, a guy who drove like a car, and a guy who took public transit, and they all tried to get like across New York the fastest, like who could make it. And I feel like public transit guy won, but
that would be fun. Not the cyclist.
No. Well, I think the cyclist probably got hit. No, I'm kidding, but
not really.
All right, it's been a weird week as usual. I feel like the episodes are always strange. Thank you for joining us, Chelsea. And good luck with the podcast. We'll keep listening. And thank you to all our listeners. Remember to send in a voicemail, and we'll see you next week. None of you people can tell me to stop. My town, my crown. We know what it takes to be reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We know what it takes to be reaching the top.